Well, good morning. It's good to be with you all this morning. I apologize ahead of time. As you can tell, I'm stuffy, so I sound a lot worse than I normally do. So I apologize for that ahead of time. I'm all inflamed in my sinuses and such. But may the Lord bless. Maybe, hopefully, you won't be so distracted where you actually hear what Jesus has to say to you this morning. We're in Luke 4, verses 38 to 44 this morning. Pew Bible, page 860. Let me pray as you turn there this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the promises that we've sung thus far. We are on stormy banks for sure. Hearts are still heavy with grief, with evil, with wickedness within us, outside of us. We see it in our own hearts. We see it in the hearts of others. We see it with a war raging thousands of miles away. Lord, we thank you that Jesus, that you rule over this, that you are still building your church. You will use these things to accomplish your good plans. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in the midst of this war, that they would just see the glory and the power and the majesty of Christ. It's been great to hear how soldiers are even sharing gospel with those who are afraid, taking cover in shelters and such. But Lord, we thank you for the promises that evil does not win. It will use even wicked and evil things to accomplish good and the salvation of so many people. So we continue to pray for that situation. Lord, we pray that you would bring restraint. We pray you would bring conversion. We pray that you would remove those who continue to do evil and wicked acts, Lord, if they would not repent. So Lord, use these things in the world to awaken us to a great need of a Savior who can rescue, redeem, and give hope. Lord, minister to our own hearts and minds. We continue to pray for the Marteau family. They continue to work that supernatural comfort that only you can give in such heartache, and that we would be those people who are willing to sit with them, to walk with them, and to be there in the midst of all these things. Lord, we pray that you send your Spirit, that you would teach us from your word today as we continue to see the power and authority of Jesus in his miracles, in his healings, and his power. So speak to each of our hearts as we seek to follow you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So our text is Luke 4, verses 38 to 44, your God's word. And Jesus arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever. They appealed to him on her behalf. Jesus stood over her, rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and began to serve them. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. He laid his hands on every one of them, and he healed them. Demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them, would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. When it was day, he departed, went out to a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving. But he said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Sends the reading of God's word this morning. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what God says today. As we move through Luke and this text this morning, we've been seeing the power and authority of Jesus on display, and why he alone is the promised Son of Man, why he alone is Savior and Lord. We see his power over the physical realm as he heals people and heals them instantly with a word. And we see his power over the spiritual realm as he delivers people from demons. We will see this over and over as we walk through the Gospel of Luke. As we consider the greatness and the matchlessness of Jesus, I also want us to grab a hold of some of the things that are going on in the text for us to apply to our lives and live out our faith. We remember that Jesus is the Supreme One. There's no one like him. He is our Savior and Lord. But also through his ministry, he gives us direction how we should live as his people. Jesus is not only gaining for us a perfect righteousness that we cannot achieve, he's also showing us how we should live as his people. Remember, Jesus is the second Adam. He's showing us how humanity ought to live. Not that we will be miracle workers. That was for Jesus and the apostles. The miracles authenticated that they were messengers of God. But in so many of the other things that we see doing, that they are doing in their lives, we can take and apply to our faith walk. So today we'll look at three things and think of them as three spiritual exercises that we should have part of our Christian walk. You all know what happens when we don't exercise physically. If you don't exercise physically, you'll become deconditioned. Your muscles will weaken. You'll lose muscle mass. It'll be hard just to walk from here to the door. You'll just feel sore and helpless even at times. So if we're able to exercise physically, we know how important it is. The same with our spiritual lives. We must be exercising the spiritual disciplines given to us by Jesus if we want to grow strong in our faith. So today we'll look at three exercises that will build us, that will strengthen us to be effective servants. Remember, it's not enough to know about exercises. It's not enough to know that they're good for you, but you must engage them. You can have all the right machines to exercise. You can have the right mentality that if I use those machines, I can become healthy. But you have to engage. You have to participate. You have to get busy doing the opportunity that is before you. So today I want us to consider three things that we'll see in this text that we should be engaged in as we live out our faith. And you'll see them there in your sermon notes. That we need to practice the need for intercession, for desolation, and proclamation. So first we'll consider this idea of intercession in verse 38. It says, Jesus arose and left the synagogue, and he entered Simon Peter's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to Jesus on her behalf. He stood over her, rebuked the fever. It left her, and immediately she rose and began to serve them. And so we see here on our first point that we need to intercede for others to the one who possesses power and authority. Here we see Simon, who is Peter. He was married. We see that his mother-in-law was sick. She was ill with a high fever, and back then they didn't have UPMC East nearby or Forbes Regional Hospital up the hill. To be ill back then with a high fever meant that you could easily die. Many of us know what it's like to have a high fever. Some of us, a high fever. It's not a good time. You feel the worst. You feel weak. You have no energy, no strength. You're just miserable. Peter must have liked his mother-in-law. He had a good relationship with her. He must have liked her because he intercedes for her. It says they appealed to Jesus on her behalf. They didn't send her good thoughts. They didn't send her good vibes. They didn't wish her the best of luck. They didn't say, you're in my thoughts. They prayed. They interceded. They appealed to the one who possesses power and authority on her behalf. They prayed and interceded to the one who can change things if he so wills. And we see in this passage, she demonstrates this matchless power. He stands over her, rebukes the fever, and immediately she rises and begins to serve. You know what it's like to come out of a fever, right? You're so weak, it takes days just to feel like your normal self. Jesus is able just to rebuke it, be gone, and her full strength is restored instantly. I just want us to focus on this idea of intercession. To intercede for others is to care. To intercede for others is to know that we need Jesus' power, we need his wisdom. To intercede for others is to show how dependent we are on Christ. And perhaps you're one who doesn't pray or intercede for others. Is it because you don't care? So that's not a healthy place to be. Perhaps you don't pray or intercede for others because you don't believe that you're totally dependent on Jesus for life and breath. And that's not a healthy place to be. Perhaps you don't pray or intercede for others because you don't think Jesus is powerful enough to change things. That's not a healthy place to be either. Or maybe you confuse your theology, saying, well, since Jesus is sovereign, since he has a plan, since his decrees will come to pass, why pray? Well, it's precisely because he's sovereign, precisely because he's powerful, because he has a plan. You pray and intercede because God uses those prayers to accomplish his plans. You take them before Jesus, who has power and authority to do what seems best. We pray according to his will to heal, to restore, or to work his mighty plan through them. He calls you and me to intercede for others. Here's some verses on the call to intercede. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 2, he says, First of all, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good and pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires that all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. He says, pray for all kinds of people, even people who are kings and who are in high authority. He says, first of all, pray. Intercede. Seek the power of God. Seek the wisdom of God to move and interact in these people's lives who God promises to work in all kinds of people to bring to salvation. We see the urgent need right now to pray for our world leaders in the midst of this war going on. We see hundreds and thousands of people praying and seeking the mercy, seeking the forgiveness, seeking the power of God to bring an end to these things. He says, first of all, prayers, intercessions, supplications for all people, all kinds of people. We see the example of Jesus in Hebrews 7. In Hebrews 7, 25, it says, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Even Jesus now is interceding for us. Right now, he's interceding for you as he takes you before his heavenly Father to save us to the uttermost. It's important for Jesus to intercede. We must intercede. Paul talks about intercession in Colossians 1. It says, from the day we heard, we do not cease to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. One aspect of intercession is for our children, for our husbands, our spouses, our wives, for our parents, for those around us to grow in the knowledge and wisdom of God. And one of the hardest things in Matthew 5:44, Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Intercede for them. Pray for them. Ask that God might work in their hearts to bring about change as you continue to love on them. So ask yourself this morning, how's your spiritual exercise of intercession? You know you should do it. You hear and you see the prayer requests. You have friends and family who don't know Jesus. You know you should pray for them. Are you? If not, begin. Begin again. Pray for yourself. Pray for others. Pray for your enemies. Work the exercise of intercession. Next, we see the power of Jesus who liberates people and silences demons. In verse 40, Jesus says, now when the sun was setting, all who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Demons also came out of many, crying, you are the Son of God. But he rebuked them. He would not allow them to speak because they knew that he was the Christ. Here we see the sun was setting on the Sabbath day. Word is getting out about the power and authority of Jesus. And as the sun goes down, everybody's getting to work and bringing their friends, their family, their loved ones to Jesus. And Jesus would lay his hands on them and heal them. The creator of the universe, the one who is the resurrection and life, was touching his creation, was touching his people, and restoring the physical and spiritual health of so many that have been affected by the sin-cursed world. He would liberate people from demons. He would silence them from even speaking. Jesus wasn't interested in the testimony of the demons. He would tell them to be quiet. And these were real and true miracles performed in the public for all to see. John MacArthur, he says, Jesus' healing ministry was set apart from the fake healing ministries that we see so much today. So many today parade themselves as miracle healers, but they're deceptive and offer false promises. First, he says, Jesus, when he healed with a word. With a single word, not with some kind of setting, with music and repetitive lyrics and saying things over and over and recantations or whatever you want to say. Jesus, when somebody approached him, needed healed with a word. And they were healed. And they were healed instantly. There wasn't a delay. Jesus healed totally. Jesus healed organically. He didn't heal vague diseases of like headaches and lower back pain. No, on the contrary, he restored paralyzed limbs to full strength. He caused people who were blind from birth to see. People who had leprosy were healed instantly, and Jesus would raise people to life. Jesus did these miracles to show compassion and love. He came to reverse the curse. But this healing ministry that he did while on earth was just an appetizer of what's coming in the resurrection, in the new heavens, in the new earth. Jesus did miracles to fulfill prophecies. In Isaiah 35, it said, when the Messiah would come, it said, the eyes of the blind would be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, the lame will leap like deer, the tongue of the mute will sing. Pointing that he was the Messiah to come. And perhaps the main reason for his miracles that we see in Jesus and the apostles is that they were signs and wonders authenticating that they were the messengers of God. It's one thing to say that you've come from God and you have a revelation from God, but then to back it up, causing a blind person to see, to healing a man of leprosy instantly, to cause the dead to rise. If somebody does that and has a revelation from God, you listen to them. It authenticated that they were true messengers of God. That's why the Hebrews writer, he would say, it was declared at first by the Lord. It was attested by us by who heard, while God who bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles. God attested to the work of Jesus, of the apostles, by signs and wonders. These were his messengers. That's why Nicodemus would say in John 3 to Jesus, he said, Jesus, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do these things unless God was with him. There's a reason we don't see people walking on water today, or raising dead people to life today, or healing blind people in an instant. We have the full revelation of God, complete. Jesus is the final revelation of God, and the apostles are the extension of that. If someone says they have a new revelation from God, they would have to verify it with miracles like these. That's why we don't see things like that today. Jesus still heals. Jesus still does supernatural things through our prayers. It's not some of the things that we see in his earthly ministry. There's no miracle workers for today. If so, when Timothy was sick in 1 Timothy, Paul wouldn't have said, drink a little wine so you feel better. He would have said, go seek out a miracle worker, or let me lay my hands on you. Or in the book of James, when someone was sick, James says, call for the elders that they may pray over him. He doesn't say, go find a miracle worker, right? He says, call the elders so that they can pray over him. There was a purpose behind these supernatural, mind-blowing miracles, right? Can you imagine seeing Jesus walking on water, healing a blind man instantly? It was authenticating that they were the messengers of God. Again, Jesus still heals. He works through our prayers, does supernatural things, but not like some of the things that were witnessed in that first century. Jesus did miracles to show compassion and love. He did miracles to fulfill prophecies and to authenticate that he was the Son of God. And thirdly, I want us to see how important quiet time with God is. It was so vital to Jesus. He said in verse 42, when it was day, he departed, went into a desolate place to pray. After a busy night of ministry, being with people all night in a setting, it had to be such a joyous time, right? Imagine all these people coming to Jesus with all their diseases and brokenness, and he's healing them. It had to be just room full of laughter and joy, just a great time. And after a night of just pure excitement of people seeing and witnessing his power, he had to get away. He had to go to a desolate place. The parallel is in Mark 1:35. It says, rising in early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus departed, went out to a desolate place, and he prayed. Jesus needed desolation time with God. No distractions, no hurries, just time with his heavenly Father to commune with him. It was important and vital for Jesus to engage in going into desolation, into a quiet place, away from the noise, spend time with his Father. And it's vital for us. Think, when was the last time you had quiet, unhurried time with God in his word and prayer? It's vital for your communion with God. It's vital for you to refuel as you're constantly giving to others, serving your family, serving your church. You need to come and just rest in the Father's love and to refuel in his power and his might that you can continue to serve those around you. As you know, there's many distractions around us. People and things vie for our time. And if you need to, put it on a calendar. Desolation time. Time with my God. Can't postpone. It's vitally important. It needs to happen. And you mark it. And you don't let anything get in that way. You won't regret it. For moms and dads, you'll need to help each other. Work, caring for the kids and the house, it will exhaust you. And you make a plan with each other. I'll take the turn. I'll make the supper. I'll make the breakfast. I'll watch the kids. You get quiet with Jesus, sit at his feet. And do the same for the other. Find ways to help each other. And for us who don't have the kids right now, we just have to be intentional. We have to go over it, put away the phone, turn off the cable news, whatever, and just make happen. Just time, sweet communion with our God. If Jesus needed it, how much more than we? And lastly, we need to preach the gospel. It was precedent in Jesus' ministry. He says, and the people sought him and came to him. And they wanted him to stay. He said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to others. For this is what I was sent. And he went to the region of Judea. So after a night of wonderful healing, of wonderful ministry, they wake up and Jesus isn't around. So they start looking for him and they find him all by himself. And they're like, hey, come back. We want you to stay. He's like, I can't. I got to go and tell people about the kingdom of God. I must tell them to repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is here. The most important exercise that you can do in your spiritual life is proclaim the gospel to others and to yourself. The kingdom of God, Jesus has come. He's inaugurated the kingdom. He is king. He's ruling and reigning even now. He came as our king to defeat sin, to defeat death, and he's ruling and reigning now. The things that he started, he will bring to completion. There will be that day when he will wipe the tears from our eyes, that sin will be no more, death will be no more. We proclaim these things, we preach these things to those around us, and we need to preach them to ourselves when anxiety, fears, and troubles assail us. Our King Jesus rules. His kingdom is not of this world, and he's going to take us all the way to glory. Yes, stormy banks are here on Jordan right now, but there's a glory coming that surpasses all these things. We must proclaim these things. It's the most vital part of our ministry in worship, the Word of God. Nothing else, and it must be vital in our lives, privately, devotionally, and to the world. It's the Word of God that has power and authority to change things, not weapons, not music, not whatever you think it is. It's Jesus through his power, through his Holy Spirit, through his Word. Jesus says, I must go. I must preach this good news of the kingdom of God. That's why Paul would write to Timothy, I charge you in the presence of God, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, and complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching and have itching ears to hear and accumulate themselves teachers that suit their own passions. He says, you preach the truth of the kingdom of God. Jesus crucified, Jesus risen, Jesus ruling even now. That there's forgiveness, that there's peace found in no other but in Jesus. You preach the word to yourself when those doubts arise. You hold on to those promises that are ours in Jesus Christ. As the song said that we're going to sing, my faith has found a resting place, From guilt my soul is free. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It's enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him. He never will cast me out. Practice the need for intercession. Practice the need of desolation. Practice the need of proclamation. They will strengthen your spiritual muscles. You'll be effective servants for the kingdom of God. It's not enough to know about these things. It's not enough to agree with these things, but you must engage them. Engage in these things. Get busy about the opportunity that's before you to grow in Christ. Practice the need for intercession, desolation, and proclamation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you would help us, that you would drive these truths deep within our soul. That we would get busy about the opportunity that you have for us to intercede for this world, to intercede for our family, to intercede for our friends, to intercede for ourselves. Let us get busy about finding quiet time with you, to commune with you, to get recharged by you. Lord, that we would be a people faithful with your word, ready to proclaim it to ourselves, to our own hearts, and to a world that's lost in darkness, that needs to see. Lord, send your Holy Spirit to help us to live these things out. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.